From Jinden to Tarago, Bungendore to Nelligan, Braidwood FM, your local radio station.
And thank you to our sponsors. We would not be able to have things like Health Chat if we didn't have them.
No, sponsors are a good thing for our little radio.
They are, and we're back to school.
Yes, Peter. Because let's face it, it's that time of the year where we're going back to school, uni, whatever we're doing, educational institutions are opening up again.
They are. I haven't been back to school for 9 years.
Can I see a smile on your face? Well, I'm going back to school. I'm back at uni this year.
Are you? What are you doing?
I'm going to do diabetes educator.
Oh, okay.
So that is a certificate and then some more work after that and then we'll see how we go.
Okay. Well, it just that's really good, actually.
Yeah,
so anyway. Still based in Braidwood?
Yeah, it's online.
Ah.
Because I'm not driving to Sydney.
I can't blame you. The weather up there's been appalling. They're going back to school in Met Southwest. I reckon they'll swelter, poor devils.
Oh, yeah. So back to school.
Mm.
We have a few things we've got to think about when we go back to school. Parents and kids, because some kids are old enough to think for themselves, no matter what their parents say.
Absolutely.
Asthma. If you have it, or if your child have it, then we really, really need to make sure we have some plans in place and know what we're doing around it.
And make sure the school knows.
Exactly. So that is like a really good thing to do. Because if you haven't had a proper review since last year or a couple of years ago, whatever, go to your GP before school really kicks in. Ask for a long appointment, not just your standard 15 minutes. You need a long appointment because you've got to sit down with your GP, review your asthma management properly, have an asthma management plan filled in. You can actually find these on asthma.org.au. You can download a template there and saying, this is what I need to have filled in for the school. So it will go through with what to do in case you can't breathe, when you're short of breath, what medications to use, all that type of stuff. If you are on preventers, please, please use them daily.
And a spacer.
And a spacer. If you have a puffer, please use a spacer. Now, the reason for that, I don't say that to sell spacers. I'm saying this because there's actually evidence that spacers work.
Yeah.
Now, the evidence, and I've seen pictures of it, and it is actually really, really interesting because you see someone who's using a puffer without a spacer and they have some radioactive stuff in it and you can see it's all coating the mouth, it's coating the throat, it goes down the esophagus towards the stomach, there might be a little bit out in the lungs. So that whole coordination, puffing and breathing in and doing everything correctly is actually really, really hard. Where if you pop it into a spacer first and then take a deep, slow breath in from the spacer, hold it for the 5 to 10 seconds as recommended. And the reason for that is that you've got to give the particles time to land in your lungs before you breathe out again. Then we can see the lungs light up and they've got their medication. That's why we use a spacer. And there is no excuse to saying it's too big, it's too cumbersome. You can get all sorts of fancy little spacers that can fit in a school bag. Some of them can even have the puffer you need within it. Make sure that the puffer you have, particularly if it's a one to relieve shortness of breath, which is common or to use before exercise, whatever, that it has your name and instructions on it. And the same with the spacer, particularly for the primary kids and also for the older ones, actually have your name on it.
Yeah.
Like we can buy all sorts of fancy name labels today.
You can. And look, the spacer thing's really important. And for older, younger people, young adults really, there's nothing embarrassing about using one.
It shows that you have a bit of brain in my book.
Oh, I think so too. Yeah. I think it does.
And that you understand what evidence is, and that is that this is going to work, and you're going to make sure instead of putting 10 puffs into your mouth and having half of it going down your stomach, you can make do with one. You're saving money because your puffer will last longer. It makes sense.
It's a win-win-win.
Yeah, use the spacer.
And the other plan too, I'm sure that most people in this situation would have one, but I know of at least one horrible incident in the past where they didn't, and that's a plan. If you are anaphylactic,
yes,
you have a plan.
You need to have a plan.
And an EpiPen.
they're available online. Check the EpiPens that you're sending to school. Are they in date?
Ah, yes.
That's actually really important, and the same also for puffers for that matter. Check it's in date. Yeah. EpiPen is particularly important because that is actually one of the drugs that we do know will start to lose efficiency. Mm. Like an out-of-date one is better than nothing by any means,
yeah.
But make sure that what you have is in date. If it's not, or if it's getting close to expiry, make sure you organize that doctor's appointment, get a new prescription, get it filled, and have the pens on hand.
Yes.
Either in a kit that the kid carry around with them or whatever works, whatever the agreement with the school is. Mm. So have a talk to the teachers, make sure everybody is on the same page with how we are managing this, particularly kids, or for older students, how they manage their illness so that it's under wraps and everybody knows where to go.
And again, it's super important that the little ones in particular understand that things like sharing food for them might be a no-no.
Yes, particularly with the anaphylaxis ones. We're not going to go and test what's in other kids' lunch boxes.
Yeah.
Because it could make for an interesting day.
Yeah, and look, they're little things, but sometimes in the busy life of a mum or a dad getting kiddies off to school, it's easy to slip by.
Yeah, and like I'm also thinking parents who has non-allergic kids, sometimes like you forget, and particularly if your kid's saying, I want that peanut butter sandwich.
Oh, hell yeah. That's a big one.
There is the day where that one slips past, or the kid made their own sandwich and you didn't see it.
Yep,
that's an option
too. That's another one, yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so that's just to be wary of, and really that's why we don't share at school, and wash hands before and after food. It's a good thing to teach your kids, and it's not something you teach them when they are 4 or 5. It's something you teach them when they are 1 or 2.
Yes.
Because what you learn when you're that very little will actually be an ingrained thing. Where if, like, you try and teach someone who's 7 or 8, you can't get it into their heads. Where if you've taught them when they were very little, it sticks in a different way. And it becomes just, this is what I do.
Second nature.
Yeah. So, and it's again that really early learning at home is so important.
You know, the old adage that our parents are our first teachers.
Yep.
It's very, very true.
It is so true, because that first 3 years of life is the most formative years. Mm. And if you do something in those years you don't want to carry on with when they're 15, don't do it.
That's it.
You got to, it's like a puppy. You got to teach them the right skills from day dot.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
There's no difference, unfortunately.
No. Well, they don't have floppy ears, but apart from that.
Yeah, no, and they do learn to use a toilet. They don't have to go out on the grass. There's details like that we've got to take into account. Little ones.
Yeah.
So anyway, get your asthma management plan, get your allergy plan, whatever is needed ready, have it organised, make sure you've seen the GPs, everything is up to date, so everybody's on the same page. Which brings us to don't be the spreader of germs.
Yeah, that's it. That's
and that comes back to the hand washing and the keeping clean, and if you are sick, stay home. Keep your kids at home. Don't be the parent that sent the sick kids to school and now half the class have either the influenza or COVID or whatever is doing labs. And let's face it, we have had some few very nice COVID waves over the summer holidays, because this is not a seasonal disease.
Yeah.
It is a up and down the waves, and the latest strains that has come out, to my understanding, is extremely good at spreading.
Yeah, I've heard that it is.
Yeah. So, and they particularly likes to stick in the lungs. So it's not good for our poor little asthmatic kids to get. So.
No, that's...
So be considerate of other people. Don't send sick kids to school. And I know it's hard. I have been the parent who has gone, oh my God, how am I going to fix this day?
Mm. Yeah. And look, for a lot of people, I know it's a day's work.
Yeah.
And if there is, you know, some support someone in the family can be.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know from you know, sort of 16 years experience as a principal, that it can be bad, and it can go right through a school too.
Oh, yeah. Well, like we know that viruses and bacteria, anything likes to go through school source. Man, there's only going to be one little wound and they're on a mission.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, hard as it is, if you possibly can.
Yep. Keep sick kids at home. Mm. Or for older kids, if you know you are unwell, stay at home. And then, of course, there's always the issue with if you need a sick certificate, particularly if you're in those later high school years. Well, try and get something organized. You can either contact your GPs. If they can't do it, try and see if the pharmacy can help you out, as long as the school will accept those pieces of paper, because I have come across, I have been told that they will only accept GP ones.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So it's just, again, worth checking with your school what they will accept and won't accept.
Okay.
And that changes over time, as things always change.
So. Okay.
So that's just to keep in mind. And then we have an all-time favourite.
Yeah, head lice. Head lice. Oh, yes.
Oh, don't we love it?
Never been eradicated.
No, and probably never will be.
Will be.
No. Okay, and we all start to feel scratchy, itchy the moment we mention
you
it.
You do, don't you?
Oh, you want to, I want to scratch my head now. Okay, so, and they are, most kids will at some stage through their school time get head lice. It doesn't matter how clean, how fine, whatever their hair is, head lice don't care. If there's a head and there's hair, they're happy.
Yep, they are.
And actually, clean hair's nice.
Yeah, it is nice. They love it.
Yeah, so that's definitely not, don't say it's the dirty kid, because it's not. It's the clean kid. It's the one that sticks the heads together with everybody else.
Yep. And yes, getting rid of it, well, away you go.
Yeah. No, so if we look at it, so head lice and their nids, so the eggs, they only live on the human head. Yeah. They don't live anywhere else. You don't get them from the dog. You don't get them from anywhere else. That is the only place they are. And as if we talked about, they don't care. Long hair, short hair, clean, dirty, head of hair is good. And they're pretty much, if someone has head lice, all they have to do is put their heads close to somebody else. The lice will climb across and find a new head of hair to infest.
Yeah.
And they're happy.
Mm.
So, and it also, like, it's the sharing of hats, that quick grabbing somebody else's hat, shoving it on your head. Don't share hats, please. Like, lice won't survive very long on a hat that has been left in the sun or thrown through a freezer or anything like that. They definitely don't like that treatment. But they can't be away from a human head for very long. So it's not like you will have a hat that will be infested for months afterwards because you've had head lice. They die off pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So be aware of that. And of course, if they've been putting eggs in the hat, like, they're not going to hatch because it's not warm enough. Yeah. So. And again, we got to remove them as easily and cheaply as possible. And one thing to be important, if your child got head lice, one-off treatment with a bit of poison does not do it.
Mm.
End of story. There's only one way, and it is pretty much the hard way.
It is the hard way.
Yep. So you need to get a bottle of some cheap white conditioner or light-colored conditioner, put it through their hair, and then you get two combs. You get one pretty big toothed, and then you get the nice fine head lice comb. And I would usually recommend the metal one, because the plastic ones often break unless you have nice short hair.
Yes, that's right, they do.
Yeah. So you will fill up the hair well and truly with the white conditioner, and then you comb it all up over the head, and then you start from the nape of the neck and you do a little bit of the time. So you first detangle the hair, particularly for long hair, this is really important. And then when you have it nice and detangled, then you take and run the head lice comb through. And you keep doing that. And of course, each time you're taking the head lice comb through, you wipe it off in a piece of white tissue or paper toweling, whatever, so you can see if there's any little friends on board. And you then slowly work your way through the head of hair. And of course, with long hair, we know this is a process. I have done a couple of kits with long hair, and trust me, my option was stick on a movie, saying just sit there, focus on the movie, because this is going to take some time.
Yeah, and you do have to take time with it.
Yeah, and you do it once, and then you repeat it after a few days, because there could be eggs that have hatched, things that you didn't catch in round one, and they like to, like, live around behind the ears, and then if you have nice thick hair, they will be up on the crown of the head too. Mm. So they will be everywhere through it. So you really got to work your way through that head of hair nice and slow. Take your time. And I know that it is an absolute pain.
Yeah. But your idea of
popping
a movie on or something's a good one.
Yep. That's what I find. Like, something that they can sit and watch and then hopefully get through it. And again, as I said, it's important to detangle all that hair before you drag that head lice comb through. Because if it's not detangled, that's when we have the screaming match starting.
That is true.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Just be aware of that.
You're bringing back memories.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the memories are definitely there. Again, so we've got to remember, they're only found on the human heads. And again, lice and nits, so that's the young ones and the eggs, they really won't survive away from the hair for very long. You don't have them on your family pets. Shaving the hair is probably radical, but I have definitely heard of the option for some people, because that was the easiest way out. Now, one thing I can say, please do not put kerosene or methylated spirit or all sorts of weird and wonderful insecticides on the head of hair. It is poisonous and it's really not a good option. If that's the case, like as again I say, because what happens if you put conditioner through the hair and give it 20 minutes, it actually suffocates the lice.
Yeah, they can't breathe.
Can't breathe because it's fit and thick and clucky and blocks up their breathing apparatus. So that's really is the best way to do it. And you usually won't find them on furniture and that. Like it is really, they crawl from head to head, and it's like, we know what those kids do at school. They stick their heads together, and that's how they...
Yeah, they're social little things.
Yeah. Oh, they steal each other's hat from head to head. That's the other good option. So, and again, something I can just buy a chemical product and put through. Yes, you can get plenty of those, and they will kill the lice. But be aware that usually the kill rate is around 80%. Mm. So you're still going to do the comb through afterwards. It's not enough to do the poison. Mm. You have to do the comb through to get rid of the buggers. Yeah. Because I know, having done that, and that was the method that I went by when I had kids with head lice, was just saying, okay, we do a kill off, get rid of the worst, then we comb, and then we recomb in a week's time, and then we're gone. And then, of course, you hope that everybody else is doing the same.
Yeah, and that's what you have to hope.
Yeah, because that's the way we get rid of them. So we've pretty much been through with how to deal with the sweet little head lice. And just be onto it, and it is a bugger of a job.
It is. It's soul destroying for everybody, really.
Oh, it is, and it's just one of those things. And then, particularly if you've done it and you've cleared your kid, and they come back with another round.
That's right.
Because somebody decided not to do it or not to worry about it. But as I said, you can do it pretty cheaply. You need two combs, one with wide teeth, one fine lice comb, a bottle of cheap white conditioner, and you can get some cheap ones in the supermarkets, and that's all you need in order to get rid of the buggers. But it takes time.
It does.
So that's the good old head lice, which I think we cover nearly every year because we know they're going to be back.
And there'll be new mums.
Yep. And there's be those who's going, oh, I've managed to clear it so far. And one day you're looking at your kid's head and there's a little thing coming down the front. And you're going, oh, no. So that's a good old head lice. And then I thought, in the vein of us always talking about healthy stuff, healthy lunchboxes.
Yep.
They're a challenge.
They are, because a lot of what is marketed isn't actually healthy.
No. And then you have the little fussy feeders. I will only have A, B, C or A and that's it. And you're going, but this is not a healthy lunchbox. So it makes it really hard. And I can say I have been through the fussy feeders and I was not a proud mum of the lunchbox. They ended up going to school because I got sick of throwing food out. So we all know about it. There's nothing new under the sun here.
There isn't. Benta, there really isn't.
No. But if we start from when the kids are small, and again, not when they're three or four, when they're one, when they start to eat solids, and teaching them to eat healthy snacks, not sweet biscuits and lollies and chocolate, but teach them to, let's have a piece of cucumber, let's have a carrot, let's have some hummus, let's have some yogurt. And I'm not meaning the sweetened yogurt you can get. You can get some little yogurts there. It's full of sugar. I would prefer to introduce kids to natural yogurt. And if you want to sweeten it, put some bits of fruit in.
Yeah.
That's much better. Plus, with putting in actual bits of fruit or berries, whatever, that adds some sweetness or flavor. But it's the healthier ones. Plus, you get the fiber from the fruit. I wish I'd had all this knowledge too when I was a young mum, because a lot of it is stuff I've learned over time and going, God, I should have done that, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
And it is not an easy task to be a parent and filling up this lunchbox.
No, and in particular when so much advertising is aimed at the child, the parent.
No. It's aimed at the child. You get these sweet yogurts that they can suck out of and it's easy. Yeah, well, have you ever looked at what's in them?
Mm.
And I'm just against all the sweetened yogurts. I prefer the natural ones because I think you can sweeten them up yourself with fruit, add healthy stuff to them, much better.
Yeah. No, I concur with you on that, Bender. And look, I'm not a food cop by any means.
No.
But you can have too much of a bad thing.
You can. And like when you start to see Mars bars in the lunch boxes and things like that, you're going, really?
Yeah.
That's something, if you should do it, would be a once a week or once a month
thing. It's a treat.
Absolutely not an everyday treat.
Yeah. And, you're sort of relying on the child to burn the energy off.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily do that.
No. Well, unless they're the ones that fly around the playground.
Mostly boys, I might add.
Yeah, well, we know who's these that we usually go and fix up scraped knees on. Mind you, my kids were opposite. They was the other way around.
Yeah, and it can be. It's not meant to be gender typing. It can be the other way around.
And you do have some wild girls out there and they got to burn it off.
Yep.
And you do have some quiet boys who you got to give space to be quiet.
Yeah, they actually like doing fine motor skills.
Yeah.
They're good at it too.
Oh, yeah. And that's particularly to teach fine motor skills early. Like get them to use pencils, get them off their little screens if you can. And also one thing I would say, please don't teach your kids screen times is dinner time.
No.
It's a very bad habit.
Do you know they're actually running courses now at universities in conversation?
That's a bit tragic, isn't
it? It's shocking.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Mm.
It's true. People are losing the ability to talk to each other.
It's like telling a young person to, you just ring them and talk to them. And you get this frightened look of talking to people on the phone and you're going, yeah, that's a fast and easy way to chat, to sort things out.
Yeah, it's the what do I say that gets me.
Yeah.
But in 2 minutes, healthy lunchbox.
Yep. Okay. So things you can do too. Good snacks, popcorn. Just make them yourself. Don't buy the sugared ones.
Yep, just ordinary popcorn.
Yep, easy popcorns. If your kids are fussy, make them make the lunchbox themselves, but don't let them choose whatever, saying your options is this, this, and this.
Yeah.
Have some flatbreads that they can wrap around some sticks of fruit and some meat if they want meat. Have some dips. Try to teach them to dip things into things and have different flavors that way. That's really what we want to do. Make sure there's some main food for lunch and a couple of snacky things, easy things to grab out of the lunchbox. A couple of good wholemeal biscuits with some cream cheese between.
Yep.
Easy snack.
It is.
Some grated carrot with mixed up in the cream cheese and you get 2 for 1. Do things like that. I know it's not easy. We've all been there.
Yeah. And we do have a problem, I think, increasingly with children who are way overweight.
Yeah, and that's again poor food choices and lack of exercise, which is the things we need to do. If we can start with the food choices and have good healthy snacks, and there's like bazillions of websites, books, what's not out there about what to do and what to cook. You can make a whole huge slab of good frittata, like zucchini slice, whatever.
Yeah.
Cut it up, put it in the freezer and take a piece out every day to go in the lunchbox if the kids are happy to eat that. Like, again, teach them to eat it early.
Yeah. Good protein, good fibre.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we made it.
Yep. We got to school.
We got to school. Well, we'll be back next month with another health chat. Thank you, Benta.
Thanks, Rod.
And to all of those new mums who are going to be seeing their children off to kindergarten for the first time, their first child.
Yeah.
The children always survive, in my experience. It's the mums who need the support. Many, many of whom are going, yahoo.
I was one of those mums. Yeah, see ya.
Bye. Okay, next month we'll be back with Health Chat.
Thanks,
Benta.
Thanks, Rod.
This is Braidwood FM.